now on the weekend edition, The Good Health Show, brought to you by our healthy friends, the BMI Clinic.
131873 is the number. Before we kick off our BMI health show, which we've kicked off last week with a flourish, I should tell you, for Westpac Home Insurance, cricket update, another wicket's gone in the cricket. Now it's 7 for 252, so they've taken a couple of wickets in quick succession, the Australians, so things are looking pretty good.
They are indeed. It was an important wicket, Coley.
In the test in Perth. And Coley, interestingly, because our guest, of course, who entertained us last week in this show, Dr. Adrian Sartoretto from the BMI Clinic, a gastroenterologist, is here with us again. Hello.
G'day.
Hi, Adrian.
We just mentioned Virat Kohli, who apparently has recently become a vegan. So he's changed his diet. He's. We've also had another Australian cricketer, Peter Siddle.
Peter Siddle, very, very, well, infamously or famously, depending on how much you like your food. But, yeah, he went through a major overhaul, probably 4 or 5 years ago now. His beautiful wife got him onto the veganism, and and he's turned his life around.
So Adrian, you and I talked last week. The three of us had a fantastic conversation about our guts and what our stomach does to process the food.
It was fascinating.
So the whole business of veganism and does it give you the nutrition that you need to keep your body going?
So veganism has become a lot more popular for lots of different reasons, and it is a very healthful way, or it can be a very healthful way of eating. It's not the only way to eat healthy, so you don't have to feel like you have to be a vegan in order to get that sort of nutrition and those benefits. The risk with veganism, though, is that you are carving out a couple of important food groups, and it can be easily deficient in a couple of areas if you're not very careful about how you approach it.
Can you just let those at home who may not understand entirely what it is, like, it's not the my apple must fall off the tree eating, is it? Is that where, that's from fruitarian?
That's being a fruitarian,
That's from that Notting Hill movie, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, but they are, that's right, I think they're fruitarians,
they
I think.
Won't, it's won't, murder if they pluck it.
Yeah, so it's got to be on the ground. Hey, if you're a fruitarian and you're offended by that, jump on the phone, 131873.
But yeah, so it's essentially cutting out all animal products?
Animals and animal products. So that would even exclude things like milk, butter, cheeses, as well as eggs.
Yeah, that's opposed to vegetarianism, so veganism. So look, and so it feeds into our topic today, which is about your mental well-being and the food that you eat and the relationship between what the stuff that goes into your gut and gets processed and then gets up into your health and your brain and your well-being, your mental health.
Absolutely. We've come to learn a couple of really interesting things over the last couple of years, in particular as relates our diets to our mental well-being and mental health. And in particular, a couple of things have come to the fore. First of all, the amount of sugar in our diet seems to be related to how depressed we feel. So if you're eating diets that are generally quite rich in sugar, people are more likely to be depressed and feel unwell because of it. On the flip side of that, if you're eating more fibre, if you're eating more whole foods, and in particular here whole grains, that tends to have a positive effect on your mood.
I would believe that. I mean, it is a huge part, isn't it, of affecting your mental health, what you eat and what you put in your body and how you fuel yourself, essentially, because your brain, well, it's an organ, isn't it?
Yeah, and only in the last couple of weeks there was a really interesting paper that was published looking at there is actually a direct ability of the brain to sense within the gut the sorts of foods that are there and take foods and components of those foods directly into the brain, in particular things like amino acids. And that it's thought to be now a really important mechanism of how we feel after we eat a meal.
Are we still learning about the brain? Because what you've just described, the brain knows what's down there and then programs what's down there to send up. Yeah, I'm not simplifying it. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
But this is one of the fantastic things about working with the human body, right? I mean, we weren't given a manual about how it was built and how it all works, and every day we're learning something new, and sometimes we're learning things that we thought we knew 50 years ago are actually not entirely accurate, which is fascinating in itself.
It's incredible. I guess the other thing as well with what we put into our bodies and the effect it has on our mental health is the aesthetic as well, isn't it? Particularly in a society where what you look like and what you weigh, there is such a huge focus on it, rightly and or wrongly, depending on how you look at it. But that's a huge thing, because if you're someone who wants to be healthy, you eat a lot of crap, and then you feel bad about yourself. And is that a part of it as well?
It becomes this positive feedback loop. I mean, you feel terrible, and so you drown your sorrows in whatever it might be for the day, whether it's a cake or a block of chocolate or whatever else. And then you wake up, oftentimes after that, you feel guilty. And then the next day you wake up and you're on a low, and you're back repeating the same habits of yesterday.
Yeah. Now, 131873, if you've got a question for Adrian, doctor... You don't mind us calling you Adrian, do you?
Of course not, no.
We've got a question for our doctor here. Any of those questions, we answered some really interesting ones last week, and it's one of those questions that you think, am I silly? Am I going to be silly asking that? Ask it.
I'll give you an example, if you weren't listening last week, of a question that John asked. It was about baked beans and whether or not it was a myth that they caused certain flatulence issues. So if you compare what you're thinking to that question, it's probably not as silly on face value. It was fascinating,
and
though.
We had an answer, and we had a very simple, detailed description of what happens and where those gases get created.
And I asked about my child Eliza, my six-month-old, because I'll feed her milk, and then if I can't get a burp out of her at the top end, she might let
come out the
gas
other
out
way.
The other, and I asked, is that the same gas that would have come out of her mouth? And it is, well, some of it.
And this is people who went with us. Another listener wanted to know, if you hold it in, does it actually then get absorbed? And the answer is some of it does.
Yes.
So, for your purposes, a little down the track, and for those of us who've got 11 and 12-year-olds, red cordial, for instance, this idea that if you give a kid red cordial, it's going to be like the Energizer Bunny and they're going to go nuts. What can you tell us about that?
Definitely sugar intake is, you know, definitely feeds their energy levels and their activity levels. I don't know that it's necessarily anything to do with the red colour that they use.
No. Okay, but in relation to that, with kids trying to get them to bed at night. Yeah. So sugar, kids are going to have sugar, and you're trying to get them to grow, and sometimes it's hard to get them to eat. So when should you think about stopping giving them food as you get them to bed? And what about if you've got a boy, say hypothetically, who, you know, 9 o'clock, or, you know, you're still trying to get him to bed and it's 9:30 or something, he's going, I'm hungry. And he wants to eat. Should you feed him, or should you say, mate, you've got to go to bed now, you can have breakfast in the morning? What do you do in relation to that?
I mean, this is a tough one. I mean, and I'm going to answer this with a slightly different take. Have you ever stayed up maybe a little bit later than you ought to have, or maybe watched a little bit on the Netflix and had some junk food with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of us will sort of let go a little bit too much, and it turns out that actually if you're eating that much just before bedtime, and especially if you're eating a lot of sugar just before bedtime, the quality of your sleep is actually far worse. So you may get the same number of hours, but how refreshed you feel afterwards is actually nowhere near as good.
That's alcohol as well included in that?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I'd encourage you to do a little bit of a test on yourselves. One night when you fall into this sort of pattern, take note of how you feel the next day, and then the following night, go to bed on a relatively empty stomach. I'm not saying to be starving, and see if you can identify how you feel the following morning, because generally you'll find that your energy levels are better, you'll have felt better rested. Now, in the case of children, first of all, I think one of the things that is really important for us all to do is really not to give juices to our kids insofar as we can help it. I mean,
they're very high in sugar, aren't
they're
they?
They're super high in sugar, and we touched on this last week. But, you know, if they are a little bit peckish before bedtime, maybe giving them a half a serve of fruit or you know, maybe a glass of milk might be enough just to take the edge off. But I wouldn't be going and giving them
food. I mean, our boy was very light, and he was really right down the bottom, and we were giving him anything to get him to grow. Yeah. And he actually went through a phase where he was loving lemonade, and I'm thinking, this is not good stuff. Mm. But he was drinking it. And he was taking anything to try and get him
to put on weight.
We needed him to put on the weight. Luckily, he's now into sparkling mineral water.
Yeah.
You know, and
well,
so.
speaking of, I wanted to ask, and anytime there's any article anywhere about diet, soft drinks, and whatever that chemical is that's in them, anyone that knows me will forward it to me, because I am guilty of consuming far too many. When I was pregnant, I cut down significantly, but I'm now back to probably, I don't want to say anything that will get me in trouble, but maybe 2 to 3 diet soft drinks a day, and that's probably on a good day. You hear that it could lead to cancer. It obviously, they're sugar-free, so in regards to putting on weight, it doesn't seem to do that, but what's your take on them?
It's not as clear-cut as all that. I mean, we've got to keep in mind that a lot of the research in this area is actually funded by the drink companies, which have an agenda.
Because I will always find an article that defends them and says they're amazing, and I'll send it back and say, but look at this research. This says they do no damage whatsoever, but funded by the company themselves.
So some studies in animals, and we've got to keep in mind, you know, rats are not humans, will show that there are perhaps small increases in risk of cancers, for example, if you feed them 50 times what a human might eat in terms of sugar. And so how relevant that is to us, we don't know. But there have been a lot of good studies, actually, that show people who drink, for example, more than two cans of diet soft drink a day are at higher risk of diabetes. They tend to eat more over the course of, a day, and they're more likely to suffer with weight problems.
Right. And why is that? Because you're drinking this, you think, well, because I've got a diet soft drink, I can then, you know, chow down on more sugar or more food.
It may be this compensation that, you know, I'm saving here, so therefore I can splurge a little bit there. It might be just that, you know, people who have weight problems and tend to eat a little bit much are trying to sort of correct that behaviour by not indulging in the drink. But the other thing is, this is really interesting, there are actually taste buds right the way through the gut, in particular in the very first part of the small intestine. And this is something that's only been...
Taste buds.
Not that we're conscious of that taste.
We learn something every day.
We do.
But it turns out that those taste buds actually prime places like the liver and other parts of the body responsible for fueling our metabolism to tell them what to expect, what's on its way, how do we have to sort of program our metabolism.
Oh my gosh, so and it gets a preview essentially.
Absolutely. Now, while we don't get the calories from the sweetener, we get the sweetness from the sweetener. And there was, a study about 18 months ago that looked at, well, how much does that sweetness versus the caloric value of that drink, how does that affect our metabolism? And what they found was that if the level of sweetness sort of veered too far away from how many calories there ought to have been for the sweetness, the metabolism slowed right the way down.
Oh, my Lord.
Incredible,
that
isn't it?
That's fascinating.
Hey, wow. 131873 is the number. We've got our guest here who knows everything.
He actually does. I thought we might have to chat to you first and you tell us, well, I don't really know this area, so I don't want to be embarrassed to know. We could ask you anything and you would be able to answer it.
And you can too, 131873. Let's get to some calls now. We've got a few lined up. Hello, Debbie.
Oh, hi, good afternoon.
Debbie, you've got a question for the doctor?
I do. I wanted to ask you about weight gain in menopausal women. Basically, I'm at that stage and I haven't really changed my diet at all through, you know, my life. And I've always been fairly slim-ish. But, you know, just hitting the menopause and suddenly, boom, and I don't know what the heck's going on.
It's a great question.
Do I need to change my diet or do I need to get onto some vitamins or... what's the story, please?
So the solution there probably won't be in the vitamins, but this is a really common problem, right? I mean, most women intrinsically know that something happens around the time of menopause and things change. And there are probably a couple of different explanations for it. First of all, the change in the hormonal pattern in the female body at menopause probably decreases the amount of lean mass. So the amount of muscle that a woman's body will carry will shrink slightly, and that will have implications for how fast your metabolism runs.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, if you're not changing, for example, you know, your diet significantly, you might actually be, relatively speaking, overeating compared to 5 years prior.
How quickly can that occur, that change?
Well, I mean, how quickly does menopause occur? It's something that can happen over months and sometimes years. So it is very individual. The other thing is that, generally speaking, as we all get older, we have this tendency to move less and less. This is quite sort of outside of our awareness. And so it's probably a little bit of both of those things. It's the combination of, well, I'm not quite moving as much. My hormones have determined that my muscle mass will be a little bit less unless I do something to specifically intervene, and that whole host of changes results in a little bit of weight gain.
So yeah. Debbie should be moving more and eating
absolutely
a little bit less.
Debbie, can we ask Debbie? Because Debbie, have you done any of those things? What's your situation?
Well, I don't think I've ever been like super into gym or exercise ever, so I don't know that I'm moving less because I never really did move very much.
Yeah. Is that going to help, though, Doctor? You think that might help to move a bit more?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've got to be a little bit cautious here. Exercise in itself doesn't produce weight loss. I mean, if you're going to go to the gym, don't expect to lose weight, but expect that your body shape will change, your body fat will change, but it'll be offset by gains in lean mass.
Mm.
So expect that your size will change, your fitness and health will change, but not necessarily on the scales.
So should Debbie maybe do a, you know, maybe write a diary, a food diary out to see what she's eating, that sort of thing? Or?
Yeah, that that might be a place to start. But honestly, I mean, I'm not about selling gym memberships. I'm really about finding a way to move that you find enjoyable. Okay. So go for a walk with some friends, do the bay walk or something like it.
So it's just something that's happened. All right, well, it's very interesting, that one. We might even talk a bit more about that down the track in one of our shows, because it does affect a lot of people, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's a great question, Debbie. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. 131873, Caro, hello.
Oh, hi. Hello, Adrian. You were talking about hungry children earlier on. I have a 17-year-old who is 6'2", sitting around the 80-kilo mark, and rows for 2 or 3 hours every day, and I cannot keep the food up to him, and particularly at night. So, for example, last night, he had his own body weight in brown rice, broccoli, and chicken drumsticks.
Yep.
And then at about 9 o'clock, he said, "Mum, I'm starving. I'm going to die if you don't feed me." So I gave him 6 wheat sticks with milk and honey. And I just, you know, then you said, "Oh, they don't sleep as well." I said, "I just wonder what I can give him at night, because he says, I just can't sleep. I'm so hungry."
Yeah, look, trying to tame the appetite of a 17-year-old rower, good luck.
It must be expensive too, Caro.
really. I keep thinking I need to worm him or something.
In terms of this sort of a problem, first of all, young boys in particular who are sort of transitioning through adolescence, they always have a lot higher caloric requirements in terms of their diet, and especially if you're doing a lot of exercise. One of the things that will probably help to help him feel fuller at each meal is increasing the amount of protein in his diet, so making sure that he is eating, chicken and fish in particular, more than, say, red meats, but that protein will really help to keep him full. And sometimes, actually, our bodies are a little bit more responsive to the food we put in it if we eat a little bit earlier. So if you're eating at 6 o'clock, what might fill you at 6 o'clock might still leave you hungry at 8 o'clock because of the sensitivity of our body to that food. So, making sure that meal is at an appropriate time. And look, if he's going to be hungry before bed, let him have something. I don't think there's any harm with that.
Caro.
Thank you very much.
The rowing, that's going to be with him for the rest of his life, though. It's a great thing to do. It's a fantastic thing to do. 131873, that teamwork you get with rowing is just fantastic.
Were you a rower?
Oh, when I was at school, I wasn't great, but we did okay in one of our races, I remember.
Yeah. One. Out of how many?
Yeah, that's right. Let's go to Rob. Hello, Rob.
Oh, hi there. Can you hear me okay? I'm on speaker.
We can indeed, Rob. Yeah. What's your question for the doctor?
Hi. I've been on the 5-2 diet for about a year, and I'm 59. I'm about 183 centimetres, 6 foot, and I was 102 kilos December last year, and I'm now 94. And I've seems to just stabilise around 94 up to 96, but it just won't. I'm sticking with it, but I can't go any lower.
You want to keep going down, don't you? Get lower.
Yeah.
How much more do you want to lose, Rob?
Well, I want to get down to about 85, where I'll be a healthy BMI.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems, it's good. I'm sticking with it. I mean, it's a bit of a pain sometimes, but. I'm just wondering, what else can I do to keep going? I mean, I'm glad I'm not 102 anymore, but just to keep going, any ideas?
Yeah, look, this is a common question that I get asked in clinic, right, is that, my diet hasn't changed, my exercise hasn't changed, and yet the weight has stopped moving off. And the assumption built into that question is, well, nothing's changed, why has this changed? The fact is that something has changed. Rob, you've lost already, 8, 10, 12 kilos?
Yeah, 8, yeah. I go between 95 to 96, then back down to 94. But I can't get below 94.
So one of the things here is...
It is good, but, yeah.
One of the things here, have you ever picked up a 10-kilo weight? It's surprisingly heavy. It really is surprisingly heavy. And the fact is that 10 kilos, literally 12 months ago, everything you did, you were carrying that 10-kilo dumbbell with you, whether it was rolling over in bed or walking down the street or climbing a flight of stairs. And so every day you're actually burning less energy than you were 12 months ago simply by the fact that you're not carrying that extra weight.
I've never thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not even taking into account the fact that our metabolism will try to resist us from losing weight.
Are you kind of saying you need to be a bit patient, that it might come off slower?
No. So the double-edged sort of weight loss is that as you lose weight, you actually need to do more to burn the same amount of energy.
So he needs to increase intensity.
Yes, exactly. So either, you know, if you are doing some exercise, for example, then maybe adding a 10-kilo weight to the backpack if you don't have any
that's
back pain or other issues.
Yeah.
Or increasing the intensity of your exercise. So, you know, a lot of people who will start exercising know that they start off really sort of out of breath when they begin, and as they progress and lose weight, they find that they're able to tolerate the exercise a lot more, and they assume that that's because of fitness. Partly it's true, but actually in part it's because they're working less hard because they lost 10, 15, 20 kilos. Yeah. You've got to get that puff back. That's really what it's about.
Puff, okay. What do you think, Rob?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty busy. I mean, I'm still working out.
That's the thing.
I mean, I go to the gym once a week, maybe.
Yep.
Sometimes once a fortnight. You average that as once a week.
Yeah.
So you're saying what, increase the...
Do a bit more of that, yeah.
Well, that's a good place to start, is increasing exercise. And even if you don't have the time, park your car a little bit further, you know, hot foot it, try to walk a little bit faster when you're moving from A to B, take the stairs instead of the lifts. Those sorts of things actually can add up.
Yep. All right, good luck with it, Rob. Yep. Good luck.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
You know, those numbers are almost identical to mine.
Are they really?
And I want to get down to where he wants to get to, and it gets to around... I could almost be hearing myself. I think you've just got to... But that, when you've lost that much, it is quite substantial, isn't it?
I've never thought it. That's a fascinating point you make, that you are doing everything with 10 kilos on you, which means that you're working harder to do it. Can you just explain quickly what the 5-2 diet is?
So a 5-2 diet means 2 days in a week, you're aiming to eat fewer than 500 calories, and then the other days in the week you're able to eat sort of whatever you like.
Do you recommend that?
It's an approach, and it's an approach that has some evidence behind it. And as I sort of said, there is no one path for everyone, and some people definitely find it very helpful. And I think, you know, if it's something that you think will jive with your lifestyle, go for it. And if it doesn't work, don't be afraid to abandon it and try the next thing.
131873 is number. We'll take a break and come back. Just on that 500 calories a day?
Yes.
For
okay,
2 days.
That box of donuts that Aaron's brought in, they're sugary, doughy donuts.
Yeah.
How many calories in each of those donuts?
You
reckon?
I need one of my dietitians here, but I'd say probably close to 200 calories a day.
So you could take two of
donuts,
those. That would be your day. Two and a half of those, that's your daily intake.
I reckon I could live on 2.5 cinnamon donuts a day.
You don't need it.
Challenge me.
Yeah. Can I tell you? You don't need it. 131873 is the number. It is the Good Health Show here. The BMI Clinic brings it to you. Dr. Adrian Sartoretto is the man we are privileged to have in here answering questions. We'll take some more of your questions shortly at 21 to 4 or to 3 in Queensland.
Hi, I'm Jessica, sales professional at Willowdale Retirement Village. Isn't it time you pop down to see our great range of homes and community facilities? At Willowdale, you can retire your way. Take it easy or take on the world. We're open for inspections Tuesday and Friday from 10 a.m. Just follow the signs from Camden Valley Way to discover how you can retire like you mean it. Or call 1-800-72-7170. Stockland Retirement Living, your place to retire your way.
Now, teens are finishing school. They've got big decisions to make regarding their future. Deciding what to do could be tough, especially the prospect of being locked into a course for the next 3 or 4 years that mightn't lead to a job. Patrick Careers Academy's got a great solution. Their business industry taster courses. The free one-day taster course is just that. Young people get a taste of what to expect. For example, they'll learn how it's different to school, what types of jobs they can expect, lots more as well. Won't go hungry on the day either, catering provided. You wouldn't buy a car without a test drive, so encourage your kids to give the PCA industry taster course a try. The business industry, it's absolutely free. Spaces are limited, so call PCA today, 9962-4682. That's 9962-4682, or visit pca.edu.au.
Are you a Qantas frequent flyer? At Luxury Escapes, you can earn or use Qantas points on your next unforgettable holiday. Link your frequent flyer account to earn Qantas points on eligible bookings, or redeem your Qantas points towards an escape or to upgrade your holiday. Conditions apply. Experience hand-picked holidays at the best prices on earth with VIP treatment and unforgettable inclusions at Luxury Escapes. Great deals, amazing places. Find your next holiday at luxuryescapes.com.
Christmas has come early at IGA with these great weekly specials. Find Australian cherries only $9.99 per kilo and Coca-Cola 1.25 litre selected varieties just $1.50. That's half price. IGA, where the locals matter. Offer ends December 18. Excludes IGA Express. See website for details.
Hey, Dad, what do you know about Car City? I think you mean Car City.
Dad.
Sorry. I know it's the largest used car complex in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, well, their new finance team, Easyland, offers quick and easy car loans, and you do need a new set of wheels.
Yes, a convertible would be nice, or seat warmers, or a convertible with seat warmers.
Hold on. Let's go. Come on.
Every car at carcity.com.au or 591 Carlisle Avenue, Minchinbury.
You can see it in their eyes. No emotion. Numb. These children are even too scared to be scared anymore. Millions of children worldwide are trafficked for slavery or trapped in the sex trade. You can help. Support Destiny Rescue to help restore children's lives. Give them hope and a future free from the sex trade. Help Destiny Rescue make a child's Christmas from as little as $52. No child should suffer. Donate now. DestinyRescue.org.
You're listening to The Good Health Show, brought to you by the BMI Clinic. Good health starts with healthy weight.
131873 is the number. It is the weekend edition here, the BMI Good Health Show with Dr. Adrian Sartoretto. It's our second week of doing this. We're having a fantastic time answering a lot of questions and learning.
So cool. There's so much we don't know, which probably doesn't surprise a lot of our listeners, but there is a lot of things we don't know.
As Donald Rumsfeld said, there are things we don't know we don't know.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Yeah, actually, you know what we might do? I'm gonna bookmark that because we're going to play that later. Because that statement by Rumsfeld, for which he's copped so much flack, is actually completely true.
100%.
What he says is completely true.
The history will judge us.
Yeah.
Was that relevant? Did that make any sense in context?
Something like that. Anyway, can we just go to some calls? Because lots of people have got questions they want to ask here. Can we go to Cliff? Cliff from Hurlston Park. Hello, Cliff.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, Cliff. Now, you've got some advice for us or some tips?
What I do, I was 107 kilos, right? I'm only 5'7", and I stopped drinking beer. No more milk, because I used to love chocolate milk, and soft drinks. I just drank water, and on my bread, I had no butter on the bread, and just made salad sandwiches, so I didn't just tomato, lettuce, and onion and that, and beetroot. And I lost... I'm now
81 kilos. 81. Wow. Oh, Cliff, that's fantastic.
Well done, Cliff. And just cutting out little things, not kind of, you know, major changes.
Yeah, I was major changing with the beer.
Well, yeah, depending on your habits.
Yeah, Cliff might have been a big drink here.
And chocolate milk.
Yes.
How many chocolate milks were you drinking a day, Cliff?
Oh, 2 or 3 litres of chocolate milk a day.
Wow.
No wonder you were that weight. Hey, Cliff, that's fantastic. Your line's not great, but that's a really good story, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the easy things. This is the really low-hanging fruit that a lot of people can do tomorrow, really. Liquids, the human body really isn't designed to take too many calories in liquid form. Our bodies treat water or liquids very differently to solids. So, for example, our stomach will essentially empty of liquids within about 30 to 40 minutes or so, whereas a solid meal will stay there for the better part of 3 hours or more. And that's because our body understands that fluid is meant to hydrate, not necessarily to be drip-fed to control sugars and all the rest. And so, first of all, liquids that contain calories, they don't really contribute to us feeling fuller.
Those diet shakes or protein shakes people have?
They're slightly different, and so I guess we might come to those either later on another day. But really, when you're drinking your Coca-Cola or your Sprite or your chocolate milks or whatever it might be, really that's not helping you feel any fuller, but it's absolutely adding to the number of calories that you're consuming. For example, a stubby of beer has about as many calories as one of these donuts here. It's about 160 odd calories.
Mm. Yeah.
And it adds up. It gets away from you really quickly.
What about those low-carb beers that a lot of people are drinking, like the Pure Blondes and that kind of thing? Are they better for you?
They are lower calorie, that's for sure. And so, you know, not all alcohol is created equal in this sense. I mean, if you want to have a drink, then you'll be saving more than 50% of the calories if you had a vodka soda, for example, as opposed to a schooner of beer. So there are ways to get around it. But a lot of people think that it's the sugar in the alcohol that's causing the problem, and it's actually not. It's the alcohol in the alcohol that is full of calories. To put things into perspective...
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. We all know that fat is the sort of most dense sort of nutrient on the food pyramid, so to speak. carbs and protein are sort of equally tied at third, and alcohol is somewhere in between.
Wow.
This is why you can run a lamp off of alcohol, and which is why we put alcohol in our cars these days.
Wow. Well, yeah. Let's get to as many calls as we can, because lots of people want to talk to you, Doctor. Pamela's on the line from Brisbane. Hello, Pamela.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Pamela. What's your question for the doctor?
I've got a partner who's 80 years old, and he's tried every diet under the sun, and he just cannot lose weight. Mm. He actually starves himself.
Mm. Well, that's not good.
I've tried to, you know what they say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Mm.
But he starves himself. Does he do much movement? Does he walk around? And
He works. He works from 8 till 4 every day.
Yeah. At 80, wow.
Yes.
Going strong.
It's hard, Adrian. I mean, you haven't got the full picture. Yeah. But is this something that maybe we could use as a bit of a case study? Could we do something like that?
So I think my general approach to this, I mean, coming to see me in clinic, we'll spend a good 40 minutes sort of trying to tease apart the sort of factors. But there are a couple of really important fundamentals. First of all, try not to drink your calories. So making sure that he's only drinking predominantly water and very little else is a good place to start. Number two, make sure that you're really cutting out a lot of these refined things. I mean, eating to try to lose weight can be a very short-term process. I mean, the problem with that sort of approach is that you'll do it for 2 months or 3 months until you get to where you're going, and then oftentimes you'll revert back to the way you were eating before, and then surprise, surprise, the weight comes back. So I think it's more about trying to find, well, what is the diet predominantly made up of? What are my particular weaknesses? Am I a bit of a snacker? Am I a bit of an emotional eater? And am I eating too late at night? And then directing some of your efforts towards those sorts of things while taking out the more refined.
We can't do this with everyone, but I'm just wondering if Pamela wrote down what he eats over a few days, mm-hmm, and sent it to us, and next time you're here, you can have a look at it and give us an idea. Would that be would you be able to do that for us, Pamela?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we can't do it for everyone, but I reckon if we did that, and Pamela just wrote down, and you've got to write down everything, don't you? You've got to be careful. Yeah. And say you've got a snapshot over, say, 3 or 4 days of everything he's eating, and then you can give us your impression. We've also got nutritionists who are going to be doing this show with us as well.
Yeah.
So
that's
can
a great
we do
idea.
That?
Yeah.
Pamela, just go back to the switch. We'll get your details, and we'll do that. I think that might be a good way to illustrate what we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind doing
Absolutely.
That. 131873 is the number. I hope we can get as many of these as we can on. Lots of you piled up. Can we go to Gary, who's on the line? Gary, hello.
G'day, John. Listen, the secret, mate, if you want to lose those pounds, is Jenny Craig, mate. I've been there for 5 weeks. I've lost 10 kilos. I'm on the 12-hour, 6,400 kilojoule diet, and what the doctor says, right, you know, eat as much as you like and you lose weight, but when it's after what you get to the weight you want to be, that's when you really, the staffs have really got to, you really got to watch what you eat. But in the meantime, you've got to be able to get the weight down there, mate. And this is magic. I mean, you don't get hungry at all. I'm eating all day.
That's so good,
so what's
it?
Your take Absolutely. On Jenny Craig, Adrian? Are they in competition with you guys, or how does it work?
Look, I mean, I don't like to see it that way. I mean, the fact is that, you know, Australia's in the midst of this epidemic. I mean, literally more than 2/3 of Australians are suffering with this problem. I think we need twice as many, you know, we need 10 times as many people trying to help with this problem. So I'm not worried about them. Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, these commercial weight loss programs, they are effective, and some people find them very effective and some people don't.
Well, Gary's,
quite as
you can hear Gary's voice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Phenomenal.
Absolutely. And so I think it is a matter of you know, trying and seeing what works.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a break. But you don't mind staying on just
no,
to finish up
not.
For the day? That'd be terrific. 131873 is the number. At 10 minutes to 4, it is the weekend edition here, the Good Health Show for BMI.
Traffic, thanks to West End Mazda, Australia's oldest Mazda dealer.
In Bexley, a fallen tree, Bexley Road, just past Canterbury Grove, has taken out a southbound lane. In Castle Hill, a fallen tree, it's brought down some power lines with it as well. Old Northern Road at Hastings Road. In Dundas Valley, a fallen tree has brought down some wires on Kissing Point Road. The eastbound lanes are closed just past Rumsey Crescent, and they have set up a diversion. In Pennant Hills, Boundary Road is closed eastbound between New Line Road and Pennant Hills Road. Crews are there now trying to remove some fallen trees. I'm Tim Govers on 2GB 873.
Head
in to Big W for 25% off a range of Christmas chocolate gifting and Christmas biscuits. Yes, 25% off. Hurry, ends Christmas Eve. Bring the magic with Big W.
Chris Kenny filling in for Steve Price.
The level of idiocy here is reaching new heights. Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk trying to blame the bushfires on climate change. This is madness. Blaming bushfires that we've always had and always will have on climate change. Incredible stuff. I really find it difficult to believe the stupidity of grown people on climate.
Chris Kenny filling in for Steve Price. Weeknights from 8 on 2GB, the power station.
Hi, it's Dr. Mark Braun from the Sydney Implant Institute. Do you have loose, painful or crumbling teeth? Is the embarrassment of failing teeth or dentures hampering your lifestyle? Or are you just too terrified to see someone who can help? At the Sydney Implant Institute, we see people like you all day, every day. At the Sydney Implant Institute, we have the skill and experience to help. But most importantly, we care. You won't feel embarrassed and you needn't be afraid. So, if you think we can help, please come and meet us. SydneyImplantInstitute.com.au.
Hurry up and get here, Christmas. La 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 la.
For a Christmas they just can't wait for, surprise them with a PJ Mask all-in-one transforming playset. Just $49. Bring them magic with Big W. While stocks last, offer ends 24/12. Price after promotion, $69.
This Christmas, give someone an escape. And a little... with an Event Cinemas gift card. Buy in cinema or online at eventcinemas.com.au. Merry movies!
So, Santa, the good news is people in Australia will be thrilled with their presents this year.
Very great.
Yeah, the bad news is they won't be your presents.
What?
Yeah, they're all buying digital radios for each other.
The ones with the amazing sound quality and up to 30 extra stations?
Yeah.
But how? That's such a good present.
Well, with up to $100 cash back on the Pure range, they can buy a digital radio for around $99.
We can't even make them for that.
I know. At selected Bingley and All My stores until December 31st.
This summer of cricket, try the Gillette Fusion ProGlide. With thinner, finer blades for Gillette's best shave, the Fusion ProGlide gives you the extra edge every day. Because close matters. Gillette.
The weekend edition on 2GB. The delicious McRib is back at Macca's. Grab it for a limited time after 10:30 a.m. at participating restaurants.
131873 is the number. It is the Good Health Show here for VMI. We are sponsored by McDonald's, the overall program.
It's all about balance.
Now, but when we talk about, you know, the McRib, you can have a McRib as long as you don't have it every day. Am I saying that? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see you're a firm believer in what
you're saying. I love the McRib.
The McRib is very good. Just don't get the pickle and add cheese is my only advice. And watch out because there's a lot of sauce, so it does drip.
Let's do a real quick segue into Anne, who's called in from Bexley. Hello, Anne.
Yeah. Hello, Dr. Adrian. My problem is that I've been on a high-protein diet. It's the CSIRO diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, I've been very successful with it. I'm very, very happy with it. And I'm just finishing my 12th week. But the big problem I've had right throughout is that I've had really been constipated with it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to do another 12 weeks because I've still got quite a bit of weight still to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, is there any tips that you can give me?
I'm going to give you a couple of tips. So first of all, for anyone who isn't really familiar with the CSIRO diet, it's actually quite a robust diet. It's a very good diet that was put out by the CSIRO. It is a higher protein diet, which will help you to feel a little bit more full. But it also has a lot of veg in it. So it's usually quite high
so
in fibre.
Low in carb, is it? Is that?
It's the carbs that are present in the diet tend to be, again, whole grade complex carbs. So that, again, tends to keep you fuller for a little bit longer. So the first thing that I'd say is, well, are you drinking enough water? That's really the first place to start, because the CSIRO diet usually has adequate amounts of fibre. How much water would you be drinking?
I was about 10 cups of water at least.
Mm. Right, so you're getting over 2 litres of water a day.
Yeah.
Are you moving?
Yes, because I've actually go to, you know, like a gym 3 times a week and also walk.
Good. Oh, you're good.
Right. Well, so I mean, these sorts of things are... You've probably optimised as much as you can.
Mm.
Part of the reason why you might be relatively constipated might just be that you're eating a little bit less than what you once upon a time did. But some people have different interpretations of what constipation actually means. Can I ask, without getting into too fine a detail here, are you going every day?
No.
Every 3 days?
about every three to 4 days.
So at this stage, if you've got enough fibre, enough water, and you're moving, really, then it's about time that we think about adding maybe a fibre supplement or perhaps one of the over-the-counter...
Is that like Metamucil?
Something like Metamucil.
Is it making you uncomfortable, though, Anne? Are you kind of cramping and that kind of thing? Or
no,
it's just
not.
Comfortably every 3 days?
No, but it's not pleasant.
Have you tried Metamucil?
I've actually included a quarter of a cup of psyllium husk.
Yep.
Yeah, all right, that's what you need.
So psyllium husk will help.
We've only got a few seconds left. That's our program, Good Health Show. We might talk to Anne off air and the BMI Clinic bring you this show, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great, look forward to
doctor.
It.
Thanks, doctor.
131873 is the number. I thought we were winding up there. We've got about 15 seconds left. Look, we might just have another look at Anne's situation during the week and return to it next week if we can. Thank you, Doctor. We'll see you next week.
My pleasure, guys.
With the Good Health Show for BMI Clinic. We're back, though, after the news with the Generation Game. This will be fun.
Bring it.
Cold, delicious Christmas.